Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Is increasing out there on the track and trying to make their way on the slick tires through this damp part of the track comes our race leader and the man in second.
All right, Lando, you're leading the race, lap 48, you know, a couple laps to go, doing great, but we are seeing a little bit of indication that there is some rain coming in, a little bit of moisture. We might want to consider the possibility of pitting and possibly putting on some intermediates in the event that we might lose some grip.
Fuck you and suck my dick, man! I'm not coming out!
Okay, I hear you, but I see our telemetry is telling me that you are now slippering all over the track.
Shut up! Shut up! I know I am!
Okay, other cars I've seen are in the wall. So quite a bit of flooding now. Tons of flooding.
I don't care if there's flooding. I'm not coming into the pits.
Okay. Now I'm hearing that there's an oil derrick that somehow has exploded on the track. It's an oil derrick.
I don't fucking care. I don't care if there's oil on the track. I don't care. I don't care if there's a fucking plane. I don't give a shit. Last week, Daniel Ricciardo got that win and he shouldn't have. It should have been me. It should have been sweet baby Lando. It should have been me. So I'm going to win this week and it's not going to be Daniel and it's not going to be Lewis. It's going to be me, Lando Norris.
Okay, I've just got word that a truck full of Astroglide has gone on the track and it's really bad out there. So I'm really strongly suggesting intermediates.
All right, fuck it. I'm gonna shunt. Sweet baby Lando, and I'm gonna shunt. Boom! That was the best thing you ever heard in your life. Hello, bankers.
What's up, bankers?
It's the Red Flags reporting live from New York and Los Angeles. It's Brian Muller and Matt Olasoffin. And baby, what a bad day it was for my sweet booby, sweet baby Lando.
Yeah.
I'm wearing his shirt in solidarity.
That's just how small he must feel today. Those of you who are not watching, which is everybody.
Everyone.
It's really small.
Famously, an audio medium.
Yes. He has a shirt of Lando Norris, and Lando Norris is about 4 inches tall. That's how big he must feel. Not very big.
So let's go from the beginning. Let's start from qualifying and talk about like the sequence of events. So, you know, into the weekend, you know, free practices, ultimately, who gives a shit?
Free practices are
ultimately boring, right? Unless there's like a crash or whatever. But come the actual race, and this is a funny little tidbit. This is how you know you're an F1 fan. The other day, I was hanging out. I was with my girlfriend. And I was just like doing some research, whatever. And I looked and I was like, oh shit, it's going to rain tomorrow. And she was like, no, it's not. And I was like, oh, in Russia. She was like, Jesus Christ, like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, oh, it's going to rain. She's like, no, we have a whole day planned. Like, oh no, in Russia, it's going to be beautiful here tomorrow. But in Russia, it's going to rain. So maybe qualifying will be exciting.
Yeah. I don't care about where exciting. I actually live. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't. Oh, what? Why? Because your parents are in town. We might not be able to go to the fucking Central Park. I don't care.
I don't give a shit about that. We'll fucking rent.
Do you know
a movie.
That Lando's
rent a movie?
You know that? Yeah, like you know that Lando is a legend in the rain until he's not. but anyway, so qualifying. It happens, and it's threatening rain the whole time, and it's raining the whole time, Everyone's on the intermediates, and it's ultimately kind of like to be expected for Q1 and Q2. And then Q3 rolls around, and the rain starts to let up. And this is one of these, it's another one of these kind of classic things, which is I want to talk about with like the Mercedes, the Mercedes tire strategy, but very similar to what happened in Spa. George Russell.
It's always George Russell. It's always George Russell. George. He goes, I wrote this down. It was the only note I wrote for qualifying. I wrote,
yeah,
prep the slicks and exclamation points. And later on in the actual race, he goes, there's rain. He was the first person to say it in the race too. And he's just always the guy standing on the mountain looking and searching and seeing. He goes, yep, yes. I see it. There's rain. He's the annoying guy with the binoculars. That's fucking George Russell. He's licking his finger. He's writing in his little notebook. He's always fucking on it. And that's what happens when you want to win and you drive for Williams. It forces you
That's right. You have a little Doppler radar in your car with you.
He is unbelievable. Yeah. And he's bossing the team. Prep the slicks.
prep the slicks, lads. Prep the bloody slicks.
We're batting down the hatches.
Batten down the hatches once more, and once more into the slicks, dear friends. Once more. So George Russell says, "Prep the fucking slicks. We're taking a gamble because for a Williams being in Q3, he has the luxury of being able to take the risks because he's not top dog.
And can I interject? Because for a second, this is a theme that we see in F1. And it's like, we're learning about human psychology. We're learning about human psychology here. And because it happened later in the race, which is when you have the juice, there's a Tupac movie called Juice, right? They talk about the juice, the power, right? Uh-huh. When you have power, when you have control.
Right.
And when you have the juice, it's really hard to take risks, because when you have the power, you're fighting not to give up, lose the power. You're not fighting to win. You're more fighting not to lose. So when you're Mercedes, it's your track. You have the best car. You don't want to make any mistakes, so you don't do anything ballsy. Right. And when you're in pole position, or you have the, when you're in the advantageous position, you get tight. And that's what happens.
Yeah, you're playing not to lose. It's similar to when NFL in football.
you like football and Formula One? What's wrong with you? Thank you to our TikTok haters.
But people hate on us when we compare Formula One to other sports, and the reason we do that is because
it's completely applicable.
Well, no, because they both have human beings in them, and we like comparing human behavior. Because that's fun.
Yeah, they're also both competitive sports.
So we got shit. Anyway, we got shit for we got shit because we compared Ferrari to the Lakers. And I just want to say that I apologize. Ferrari and the Lakers are not alike at all. Ferrari is actually they actually can't touch the Lakers. Lakers have way more championships. Like double. And there are 30 teams in that fucking league and only 10 in Formula One. So Ferrari actually wishes they were the Lakers. So sorry
Ferrari
about that
would
comparison.
Fucking get down on their knees to be the fucking Lakers.
So sorry about that comparison. I'll never make it again. Moving on. So this idea of when you're in the best place, you don't want to take risks. It's like, being in the lead is like the ring. It's like precious. You don't want to let it up. Uh-huh. That's what happened to Hamilton, which was the race, that crazy race where everybody went in and Hamilton stayed out and he started the race by himself.
Baku.
No, that wasn't Baku.
Oh, when he started the race by himself.
Was it?
It was Hungary.
Was it Hungary? Whatever.
It was Hungary.
So it was like in the Hungarian Grand Prix where he started by himself because he didn't want to let go of that pole position. Because it's just such a hard thing to let go of. It's just like, we'll get into it later, but Lando Norris. He's in the, he didn't want to let go of it. It's the precious. He's literally like, no, fuck you. Ah, the precious. You know, you don't want to let go of it. It's so hard
it's hard to be the one who's chased. It's fun and easy to be the chaser it makes you appreciate how great the greats are. It makes you appreciate how great Lewis is, how great Schumacher was, how great, you know, those guys, because it's like for 7 years people have been nipping at their heels, and all it takes is for you to, you know, stumble, fuck up, and then all these people are ready to take your thing.
It
will cause you to make some errors and not big risk, big reward.
But the point is,
it's kind of easy
in those, when you're in like in Q1, sorry, when you're in Q3 and you're a Williams, you're playing with house money. So it's like, whatever, I'll try to be on the slicks. And if it works out, I'm a hero. And if it doesn't, I'm starting 10th, which is where I should be anyway. And
totally.
And if you're these guy and later, so Russell does it and he's a fucking hero.
Russell does it and everyone does
everyone
it.
Everyone does
all,
it.
And everyone does it. And this is where I want to take a second and say that just because Mercedes, and when you are top dog, you are under that more pressure and you sometimes do make mistakes because of that for that reason. But I just want to say that Mercedes has been fucking up so much this year in these stupid little silly ways that is crazy, and fucking Lewis Hamilton also has been fucking up, and they got this fucking win because they finally made the fucking smart right move when it came to their tires. Because the same thing happened in Spa. The same thing happened in Spa. They were just fucking like using this intermediate, this tire, you know, going back and forth, They made the wrong call in Hungary. They've made fuck up after fuck up after fuck up. And the same thing happened in qualifying when they came in. Lewis then was driving into the pits in the same way that, you know, I could drive into the pits like that and slammed his fucking... I was like, oh, it's just Lewis Hamilton pulling a, you know, just like a plebeian kind of... He looked like a plebe driving into the pits there. His fucking wing was... His front wing was hanging off the side like a limp dick.
And I think the day before he ran over his crew member.
The day before he almost murdered one of his pit crew.
He was fine.
Yeah, so he's been just making kind of like mistake after mistake during qualifying. He comes out and he doesn't have enough time to get the slicks because everyone's out there on slicks and they need time to get the heat into the tires to get them warmed up so they can actually put in a good lap. And because A, they came in too late for both him and Bottas, and then B, he crashed on his way in, so they had to replace the front wing. All of a sudden, he doesn't get P1, and the top three, he sticks with his – he gets P4 because even him on the slicks was better than everyone else on their him on the intermediate.
Him only, like,
on the slicks.
Him only, like, half erect is still going to get the job done, like everybody else fully hard.
Right. But, you know, so it's the top – three is Norris, Sainz, and Russell, and then our guy Lewis Hamilton in fourth.
But it's actually not, from what I understand, it's actually not advantageous to start in pole position, even though it's like cool to win pole. And someone asked Max about this once. It's like, hey, it's, you know, I've heard, you know, for this race, you know, they say it's not ideal to win pole. He's like, and Max was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to like qualify second. Like, how do you aim for that? Like,
is this the race where
Bottas that's what I was getting to, is in the drive to survive, they actually think he sabotaged his own qualifying so he could get second, so he could get the slipstream and fucking win. That was when Bottas.
That, yes.
So
when Bottas, when Bottas took his own revenge.
Yes. So, which he did not.
But anyway, it was still a big deal.
Today.
It was still
he very much did not.
Which he did not do today. Yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah. So, but it was still like a big deal for Sweet Baby Lando. It's his first pole. He took a sweet little selfie. Took a sweet little selfie of him with the tire, looking so happy, which was only juxtaposed by the picture of him later with just tears in his eyes as he had to, like, go through every interview where people just were so sorry for him. And, yeah, because it's a brutal sport. But, yeah, so the qualifying
makes.
What a difference a day makes, yeah. So and but the qualifying was very exciting to watch. And, yes, that was our our grid lineup for the actual race. There was also for the actual race, there was this time penalty, and I want to talk a little bit about this because, you know, so Max took his engine penalty because he was going to have a 3-place, you know, penalty from the crash at Monza, and Leclerc took a penalty as well, and for some reason Bottas also took a penalty. And the commentators were talking about this a little bit, and they were kind of like, do we think that this is like a real penalty that they took, or do we think that this is like a penalty so that we could have Bottas in the back to kind of like hold up Max?
Well, it didn't work.
This is what the
whatever it was.
Well, it didn't work, but it was but if that was the case, if it was the case that they, you know, took this extra penalty, put Bottas in the back to defend Max, then Bottas letting Max by in the way that he did, all of a sudden is in a brand new light. All of a sudden, it's like, Bottas does not give a single fuck about this team anymore, because he's letting Max Verstappen just fucking waltz by, gave him no fight.
And there was also some interesting barbs. There was a great barbs between. Just to get to the pre-race hype,
uh-huh.
for the people listening, there was two great barbs back and forth between Lewis and Max that I wanted to get into.
Yeah,
where they were asking, I think Lewis about the, you know, how fraught it is between them, you know, since Max basically teabagged Lewis
right.
with the ball
right.
sack of his huge car.
Yeah,
Lewis said, you know, maybe the pressure might be getting to him, you know? Lewis said, I remember what it was like battling for my first championship. And obviously I'm fighting for something like my 10th battle or something like that. But I remember what it was like, and I know the pressure that comes with it and the experiences that go with it. So I can empathize with that. I think that's important. I think what's important is that we're just going to continue to race hard but fair, and I have no doubts that we will both be professional and learn from the past. Okay, so Lewis here is like a walking PR machine, but sometimes he has this ability, even when he's doing the nice thing, he sort of subtweeted Max a little bit. He's like, I'm on my 10th championship mm-hmm. battle, and this is his first, and like, the pressure might be getting him right. to a little bit. I remember 100 years ago when I was where he is. Like, listen, Sonny.
Right.
Like, I remember when I was your age, it was hard.
I remember my first beer.
And Max comes back and says, yeah, I'm so nervous I can barely sleep. I mean, it's so horrible to fight for a title. And he goes, I think if someone knows me, they think I'm very relaxed about all those things, and I really can't be bothered, you know? I'm very chilled, and it's the best feeling ever to have a great car. And then he's yada yada, and he goes, I think those comments, I mean, it just shows you that he really doesn't know me. And then he basically says, and I think that's fine. He doesn't have to know me. Like, I don't give a shit about him.
Right.
Essentially. And it was all,
right,
and it was like,
right.
Wow, these guys are really just like, Lewis is trying to sun him, and Max is like,
uh-huh.
Don't even try to sun me. If you don't know me,
right.
you're just a corny old man thinking you can try to get in my head. So
right.
He's
like, that's cute.
You're adorable.
He's like, that's
cute. That was
cute.
An adorable attempt. Like, I'm built of different stuff. Like the emotions things that you were talking about with you were battling with Fernando, those don't apply to me.
Right, right.
But yes.
Yes, there was that. I mean, some there's definitely, you know, they don't like each other. I wouldn't want to necessarily be sitting at a dinner table with the two of them. You know, it would be fucking tense and awkward. There was also a little little quote from Helmut Marko. Helmut Marko, who is just a fucking crazy person.
Yes, yes.
Little old, just an old evil man from his cave who kind of comes out and just like says wild shit.
I mean, he looks
but he
dead.
Was talking about how
he looks like he's already dead.
He looks like dead. We've
he's
established this before, but he looks. We've established this before. He's the guy in Game of Thrones who's at the you know, the Northern Wall. He's the blind old guy.
He's Master Aemon.
Yes, he's Master Aemon. But he said, you know, after the crash in Monza, and Lewis was complaining about, you know, he had some neck pains and whatever, but then, you know, the next day he went to the Met Gala, right? And so Helmut Marko said, the whole incident was, let me do it in the Helmut Marko voice.
The whole incident was certainly not life-threatening. If he had had serious neck pain or any problems, he would not have been in New York the next... Jew York, another way of saying it, the next day in the very...
He said he would not have been in New York the next day in the very funny outfit he appeared in. If you go on a several-hour flight with an injured neck after an incident like that, it couldn't have been all that serious. He described it as a very funny outfit.
I mean,
because he's, yeah. Do
you
not think that Helmut Marko is kind of?
Dresses are very funny.
That's right. Yeah. Do you not think Helmut Marko is up to date on kind of the current state of gender non-conforming fashion?
That's Dr. Helmut Marko to you, sir.
Excuse me. So that was some of the you know, off track, you know, verbal jabs that were being thrown. Lewis obviously like kind of just brushed that aside, was like, lol to Helmut. Thank you. Thanks, King. I'm looking fabulous in my wedding dress. But so let's get into the actual cool, we're an hour in. Let's get into the actual race. I mean, what's our main? I mean, you know, we'd be remiss. The race did have a shit ton of overtakes. It was a lot of what I'll say as like a newer F1 fan is that like some of the kind of pit strategy goes a little bit over my head.
I would say it goes way over my head.
Yeah, it goes way over my head. Like the undercut, you know, where someone is.
But it seems like they don't even understand it, because I remember Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like nobody understands this, because Lance Stroll came in early and everyone was like, wow, bravo to Lance Stroll, because the undercut is strong here. And then it never worked out.
Right.
So I was like,
yeah,
oh,
he got
Lance
totally
Stroll.
Fucked by
I was like, Lance Stroll is going to do some shit here. Because they're like, they were like, the experts who clearly know more than I do were like,
right.
Way to go, Lance Stroll.
Right.
You know, he's on it. You know, the undercut is very strong. So they, it doesn't seem like anybody knows. And...
Well, I think, I mean, the basics of it, to me, seem like it's kind of like you stay out there on your... You either go hard... You know, it's like, depending on which tires you're on, almost no one ever stops, you know, races on softs. Sometimes you will, but, like, for the most part, it's like you're either on mediums or hards. If you're on hards, it's usually because like you want to like stay out there
go
a bit
long.
Longer, get some extra, go long, get some extra places while everyone's pitting. And then if you're in mediums, it's usually because you're at the front and you're going, you know, you're. But like in this race, it kind of seems like the vibe is, if you're in the front, then you stay out a while, and if you're in the back, then you're gonna want to come in like maybe three or four laps before you would. If you were in first, but there was this moment.
But I have no idea. I mean, also it's kind of hard to quantify because the pit stops were some of them were so horrible.
Right.
And
but also different racetracks will have like a different amount of time that the pit will take for you to get into the pit.
It'll right.
Take.
Based on
it'll this... be like, this pit is like a 25-second right. pit versus like a 40-second pit or a 30-second pit.
But that's the same for everybody, so it just shouldn't really matter.
Well, it is the same for everybody, but it does right. matter in terms of, like, if you're 25 seconds ahead of someone, then you can go into the pit and come out and still seemingly be ahead of them, as opposed to you need to be further ahead on other tracks in order to not get stuck in traffic.
Right, but I also think it has something to do with, like, the track degradation and how quickly the track wears out the tires. I don't know. This I confidently feel like I don't right. know shit about. All I know is that Carlos yeah. Sainz was doing well, and then he came in, and that was it for him.
Well, let's that talk about. Well, he got a podium, so he didn't. It wasn't necessarily horrible for him. But
he wasn't going to get a podium except for the rain.
Right.
So he went from first to then he was going to get fourth, and then yeah. the podium, and then the rain happened, and then he. And then he did the smart thing with the inters. And
yeah.
And basically, well, we'll get into that decision and who won and who lost there. But
what I want to say in the beginning of the race, so the race starts and Carlos Sainz, who's starting in second, Lando gets a good push off the line, but Sainz comes in and he gets that slipstream and he gets ahead of Lando. And the beginning of the race, what was fun thrilling. About the beginning of the race was that it was Lando and Carlos. Right. And it was the bromance.
The bromance.
It was the bros. And in the beginning of the race, I did have this feeling of like, this is what Carlos does. Like, on some level, Lando is still looking at Carlos being like, but he's my big brother. Like, he taught me everything I know. Like, I can't pass him. And in the beginning, it did kind of feel a little bit like, like, is Lando wasn't getting after him in a way that I felt like he could be. That he felt like he could be. And I was like, is there's like this, but I think that like
I think
Carlos has this.
I think you're
he's
crazy.
Got this, like, he's got this psychological thing. And then Lando was like, no, fuck that, hold my beer, I'm better than you.
No. What are you talking about?
What?
Sainz got him.
Yeah, but then Lando got him back.
No, he didn't.
Lando passed him. Yes, he did. Lando passed him. We just didn't fucking see.
Right. Right.
He did. I'm 95%.
No, he did. No, he did. No, he did pass him. But Sainz got
after
him.
After the pit.
No, Sainz. Lando passed him later. But Sainz yes. was leading the race for a while, and then
I know.
And then he right.
I'm not crazy for thinking that there's a element when you're racing against your buddy.
Right.
I do think that there is a little bit of an element of that.
Right.
When you're genuinely friends with the guy, like they play. Yeah, subconsciously you can't avoid it. Like you play golf with him. He's like actually like your best friend in F1.
But you don't think Brian I'm gonna say something that is gonna not even be close to equitable. But you don't think yeah. when you're close to somebody that makes you want to beat him more.
I think it does.
Like
I
when
does,
I play I you that... in NBA, like nothing makes you more furious. Like the most furious we've been at each other in a while was when I beat you in 2K. You were so angry. Like if you
had
lost to a
like...
stranger, you wouldn't have cared.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do think that there's like a level of like, I think that that is true. But I also think with like certain people, especially when you like want someone to like you, where in a way that's kind of like, oh, but like I don't want to piss him off. When you're like more like peers, but I do think there's a little bit of an L because Sainz is older. He's been around a little bit longer. It was kind of like Lando, look at Lando, my little brother, and he's at Ferrari. I don't know. I think that there's like a level of it, which I think you're right, but I do think that there was that playing into it. I did find to be interesting.
You don't think that Lando knows that he's like hotter shit now than Sainz?
I think he does, but there is still like there's the Ferrari, you know, it's like the dumbass Ferrari lore,
right?
And I mean Lando, I think, is predisposed to think that he's better than everyone around him. I think that Lando does, you know, feel that, but there's still like scientists. He's still got like older brother vibes.
And the guys that were like 2 years older than us in high school, like they still feel that much
yeah.
older than us, even though
yes.
2 years doesn't matter anymore. Like if I met a guy 2 years older than me
than I was now, I'm like, whatever.
Right.
But if I hang out with the guys that were two, like in my high school that were 2 years older than I was, they would carry different weight.
Your first dynamic sticks with you, even if it's a dim roar, it's still there. It's exactly. Like every time that whatever your first interaction is with someone and your first kind of like emotional dynamic is with them, that persists no matter what context you're in.
Right.
It will always somewhat be there. And I think that exists between, you know, between Lando and Carlos. But
so yeah,
I mean, what?
The start was
thrilling.
Was thrilling. Then I thought, and then it was all about like how deep, how far can Max go on this fucking killing
right.
spree? It was about the Max
totally.
Verstappen fucking killing spree, and it was swift and brutal. He was just fucking mm-hmm. slicing. It was Kill Bill. And he was Uma Thurman just fucking slicing people's necks. It was unbelievable. And he's so impatient. There was one moment where I think it was Leclerc and Vettel were having their own thing. I think it was Leclerc and Vettel. It was Leclerc and Aston Martin.
Yes.
And an Aston Martin. Leclerc and Vettel were doing their whole battle. And then he was like, right. I'm going to get past both of you. And they go three wide. And I'm like, psychopath. Psychopath.
Yeah.
And then they almost.
He was going for the dual head, and both their heads fall off.
He was
off.
Going for the Halo double kill.
Double kill.
And then he almost got fucking crashed into it. He's like, okay. You know
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, you could just get them one at a time. Like you don't have to.
Yeah, and you'll and guess what, babe? You will in like 30 seconds.
I was like, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
You understand? You understand that you're racing for a championship, and like you don't need.
I know.
Like
that was an aggressive move. That was a wild move.
Like he's taking so many years off Christian Horner's life. Like when he saw him go three wide like that.
Right.
That was
right.
Fucking wild.
Yeah.
When he went
that's
three
so
wide,
fucking
like that,
true.
I was like, Matt, that's why I love Max, because he doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't.
He wants his fucking corners. And
he wants his fucking corners. That is definitely if we can do the I want my corners award.
Yes.
That is certainly probably the like I want my that's my I want my corners.
Well, he did back
move
out.
Move of the day.
What I
he did back out. He did back out,
the
which maybe he wouldn't have done a couple years ago.
I guess
ago.
All three of us are crashing because some growth. There's a three-car
right.
pileup because he didn't get his way.
No, that was an incredible move.
I mean, he didn't complete it.
You know,
it was incredible.
Out
it was incredible.
I know he didn't complete it. I know he didn't complete it, but
it was incredible that he even attempted.
Exactly. There was one. I don't know which turn it was, but there was one. There was one turn that like it seemed like every lap on that same turn he was getting someone, and there was like he's really liking this turn today. And it was like boom Gasly, boom Alonso, boom Vettel, boom Stroll, just like every time, just like coming in the inside and I'm faster than you, bitch, and here the fuck I am.
I want to just give him a new engine every race and have him start
right.
back every time with a new engine and just having to kill people. Because it's just slasher.
Totally.
It's like he's just
true.
Murdering people. And
it is so fun when like it is so fun when someone who's like in the fucking best car starts in the back.
And he's in the
last year, but last week in Monza.
Well, you know who's also in the best car and lost a place? Sergio Perez started in eighth and finished in ninth, whereas mm-hmm. Max started in 20th and finished in second. Okay.
Yeah.
And was
part of that due to the rain? Yes.
Well, it was also
but...
part of Christian Horner threw him under the bus so
so hard. I mean, don't take it from me that Sergio Perez did poorly this race. Take it from Christian Horner, who went out of his way to both deep throat Max and at the same time hurl Sergio Perez in front of an 18-wheeler. He was like, after the race, they asked Christian, they were like, so tell us about the decision-making in the rain. He goes, yeah, no, it was crucial. You know, lap 48, you know, Max was on it. He goes, we need to get on the Intus. And he was 100% right. 100% right. He couldn't have been more right. And Sergio, you know, he wanted to stay out. And, you know, we saw what happened there. So, I mean, basically, Max, genius. Sergio, idiot. And, like, I mean, he literally did the cross cut of, like,
right.
Max is a genius. And I want to, okay, so I guess now is when we should get into, so Lando's doing
the final, the end. We'll get into, yeah.
The last,
so this
final
race,
act.
You know, it's like we all watch. It's like the race was, it was interesting. There was, you know, there was some drama. There was lots of overtakes. There was lots of, you know, but then the whole time it's like, is there going to be rain? And they keep showing the Doppler radar, and they keep showing the rain in the distance over the beach.
Which I can never understand, because I'm like, is it the crosshair where they are? Because it looks like we're going to miss it.
Right. Well, for the most of the time, it was missing it. Also, can I just say, I was like, this is in Russia? This beach town?
It's beautiful.
This looks nice.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's beaches in Russia?
Yeah.
News to me.
It's a resort town.
Maybe we're going to go to Sochi next year. Yeah. But they keep showing the rain, and they keep saying at certain points it's drizzling. Maybe, you know, there's a little bit of rain, but it's nothing
they
major.
They have all this technology. They have all this technology, and then one person goes on the radio and goes, I see umbrellas. Like,
oh, my God. Yeah. That was amazing. Yeah. Okay, so you know who that was? That was – I think that was McLaren. Who said, like, they've got umbrellas out.
That's what I love about F1, is it's the combination of, like, bajillions of dollars of technology and then just people using their eyeballs and, like, duct tape shit. Like, there's, like, both everything and nothing involved. And
right.
And what's interesting is at the near the end of the race, at lap 48, it's looking like Lando is going to win. Because he's holding off Lewis well. Lewis is like, it's so crazy because you see this young kid and this black car just chasing him. And it's kind of like, is the shark going to catch the orange marlin? And then rain. And
it was also it was reminiscent of an Imola when Lewis passed Lando and was like, such a great driver, Lando. Such a great driver, Lando. And it was like all cute and cheeky then, but it's kind of like, is Lando gonna be fucking able to hold off? Is he gonna be able to hold off Lewis here? And
I was
scared. They're talking about it on the broadcast. They're like, it's gonna be in ten minutes, like the rain's coming.
Yes.
You were scared?
I was just scared, and then it started raining, and then you could see how, and then Lando started going a little wide, and you're like, oh my God, he can barely control this car, and you're thinking about a few races ago in the rain where he fucking got into that scary crash, and you're just, all that is with you when he's just,
right.
I can do it.
Well, and as we so brilliantly dramatized in the beginning of the podcast, sweet baby Lando, he's out there, and before this, you know, you hear George Russell be like, it's raining,
George
let's
Russell
get on the
first
let's...
one that said there's rain,
sniff,
sniff,
there's
sniff.
Rain, it's
he
happening
smell it.
It's happening, and slowly but surely people start coming in to go on intermediates
from that his decision.
And but they start going on intermediates, and they tell Lewis, do you want to go on intermediates? And they tell him to box, and he doesn't box because Lando's right there.
Yeah.
And he can taste him. Lewis is like, I can smell the blood. Yeah. I can smell the blood on this little boy.
Yeah.
This little British bitch that I'm going to catch and eat for fucking dinner. Yeah. I'm going to fucking eat him. And
they eat this trust fund fuck.
this little fucking prince. Yeah. this little inbred prince, yeah, that I'm gonna fucking kill. Yeah. So they tell him to go into the pit. Lewis doesn't go. It's getting tense with Lando's team. They have the iconic with Lando. They're like, we're hearing that it's slippery out there. And Lando's like, shut up! Shut up! Leave me alone!
Shut up, Mom!
Shut up, Mom! Leave me alone! And then finally they're like, and they said it in this way that was kind of like, Lando, like, what do you think about maybe like intermediates?
And then he just goes, no!
And he's like, I'm staying out, man. I'm staying out. I can finish this race on my own. And you know what's interesting? And I'll go into what this whole race, Lando was kind of just doming his engineers. Just like, at one point they were like, he said this thing that I loved where they were like, he was in first. It was coming around the time where it was like, should we bring him in for a pit change, for, you know, for a tire change? And they were like, how many more laps do you think you could do on these tires? And he was like, I mean, like 10. Like, I could do as many as you want. Like, I'm a fucking pimp. I could do the whole rest of the race.
I could do this all day.
Like, I don't give a shit. And you could see it was like he was putting on his wings. He was putting on his wings that were eventually going to, they were made of wax and eventually going to fly too close to the sun. And he was going to be splattered on the wet ground. But, you know, the whole race, he's like, he's talking shit to his engineers. He's like, I don't want to hear it. Blah, blah,
he's
blah.
Like, it's getting slippery out there. Dirt off your shoulders. Like,
dirt off my shoulders. And then the final one, they're like, we're hearing, you know, what do you think about maybe going on to some intermediates? He's like, no, I'm staying out. And then almost immediately, he's ahead by like 26 seconds, and there's like 3 laps to go.
Well,
and
it's I saw the time difference, and I was like, oh, he's got it, because he's ahead. But the people who know that, they're like, oh no, he's fucked. Like, he's right. Totally. Everyone's like, it doesn't matter if he had 3 minutes. Like,
well,
it
one
was
of the
so,
I think what yeah was one so of the announcers wet. Was like one of the announcers was like he could lose like 6 seconds each lap. He's only got 3 laps. He could lose 6 seconds each lap. And I was like, 6 seconds? He could do that. Yeah. He could do that. And then they cut to him and he's literally just like,
and it was just so. And he just so slowly went. Oh, it was so lame. It was just like,
it was tragic. I felt so. It was brutal.
I mean, it was totally self-inflicted.
Brutal.
It was totally.
It was
because you know what?
It was a total self-inflicted wound.
You know what though? Because everyone's like, because they asked him. They said. He said we a lot in the apology. He goes, we made the decision as a team. We. He did take some responsibility. I will say he said.
He did.
I ignored some suggestions to come in. I did it. But you know, it was a team decision. We. And there was a lot of people, like a lot of British media, tripping over their own fucking dicks to protect him. Being like. You know, no. Lando didn't have the same information as everybody else. You know, it was impossible. You know, he was misled. He couldn't have possibly.
It's impossible for one of our own to make such a foolish and careless decision.
Lando was let down by the team. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're missing a key point, which is Daniel Ricciardo went in. No one's talking about the fact that Daniel Ricciardo goes, oh, it's fucking raining. I better go in, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was great because they interviewed.
And Daniel had the reason to be mad at them because they fucked up his fucking
pit
stop.
They fucked up his pit stop. And yeah. He came in and he said, and he kind of subtweeted Lando a little bit. He goes,
right.
I can only speak for myself. They go, well, so Lando, you shit the bed, right? And he goes, I can only speak for myself. But I mean, when the rain came, it was, you know, the track was undrivable, so I came in. And it was like...
he was doing, like, George Russell, like, I think it's raining.
Yeah. And I'm like, he can only speak for himself, but he was driving on the same track in the same car. So, yeah. I mean, he was in the same situation that Lando was. He knew that the car...
Well, he wasn't really in the same situation. He had more to potentially gain by switching on intermediates. Lando was so far ahead that it was kind of one of these things where it's like, can I just like limp my way to the finish?
Well, that's the whole thing. It's the classic thing. Precious. It's so, yes. It's like, it's the ring. You can't give it up.
Yeah.
It's no. Yeah.
It ain't easy. It ain't easy on top.
No.
And you know, lots of people felt that this year. Like Max has fucking felt that. You know, it's like it ain't easy being on top, because at one point it looked like Max was just gonna run away with this thing, and right now Lewis is ahead. Yeah. So
well, this
it's
felt like a
win
for Max, honestly.
Oh, this was a total win for Max. But even still, like, you know, like before Silverstone, it was kind of like, okay, like this one's just gonna be boring, huh? Like it's the Max Verstappen show.
It just feels like Max is like the Terminator a little bit. Like, a lot of bad shit has happened to Max, and he just comes, like, limping back. Just, he's the horror movie villain. Like, you keep running, and he's walking, but he's still there. And it's like, how is he still there? Like, I fucking stabbed you. He's fucking Jason. I fucking stabbed you.
Right.
I shot you. I clubbed you.
Right.
And I'm running, and I keep looking back, and you're walking, and now I'm tripping, and now you're killing me. So,
right.
I mean,
and Lewis, honestly, you know who Lewis is?
Keeps tripping.
Lewis keeps tripping, but then also keeps not dying.
Lewis keeps tripping and crawling.
Max is the Terminator that like a tree branch keeps like hitting him in the fucking head, where he's just like a bus comes and hits him and blah blah blah, but he kind of nevertheless he persists.
Yes.
And then Lewis is just like at every turn is like, maybe I should I not go into the broken elevator? And then he goes in, it falls, but somehow he walks away unscathed.
Yeah. You're like, don't go in there, Lewis. No. And you're like, oh, he's strangely fine.
Yeah.
Lewis got lucky. I mean, he wasn't gonna catch Lando, and then it started raining.
Right.
And then they finally made the right decision. And there were drivers.
Well, Mercedes finally makes the right decision, and on some level is like, Lewis, come in. Like there's gonna be more rain.
Yeah.
They finally make the right fucking tire decision.
And Bottas,
after
and
just
Bottas
week
from,
after week of fucking up.
And it brought Bottas from 14th to 5th.
Well, what was going on with Bottas? Bottas just, like, could not fucking pass anyone today. Last week, or 2 weeks, you know, at Monza, he started in 18th, finished in 3rd, got the podium, or finished, you know, he was there, just slicing through motherfuckers, just like Max did today. But today he couldn't fucking get anything going. He was like stuck in 14.
He's inconsistent. But this was his track.
It's interesting.
This is his track. So I don't understand.
I know he won this. He won this.
Maybe he felt deflated that they gave him an engine penalty.
Yeah, maybe.
But he did end up in 5th because of the decision to go on the inners. Ricardo ended up in.
Ahead of Norris, which honestly, for his ego, he
needed that. I mean, if Norris had won this fucking race, I mean, it would have just been.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ricardo thing could become torture porn.
Uh huh.
Because the thing is, it's like, yeah, Ricardo won, you know, 2 weeks ago, but that's how torture works, right? You can't just torture a guy relentlessly. You gotta give him a break.
Right.
You know, in the movies, they go, okay, that's enough. Like, let him rest, and then we'll torture him tomorrow. Yeah. You know?
Right. There's no tragedy without hope.
Yes, exactly. So, also, I mean, there were certain people that did the right thing. It was really interesting to see that. You know, Sainz made the right call. Ricardo made the right call. Verstappen made the right call. And then there were people.
Leclerc made the wrong call.
Sainz has shown himself to be a field general out there. Norris made the wrong call. Perez made the fucking wrong call. Perez dropped 6 places because they didn't slap on the inners. Russell made the right call. As always, got himself into the points. Good for you, bud. but what's interesting, the other thing is Stroll made the fucking wrong call. Stroll's been crashing into Vettel. Stroll crashed into Vettel and Gasly today.
Yeah.
Stroll keeps crashing into Vettel, which is crazy. Yeah. And because you know no one's going to say shit to him. Stroll is ultimate coach's son.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to play shortstop and I want to pitch.
Yep. And then when someone like another coach is like, hey, maybe we won't, and big booby Stroll is just like, what do you say that my son can't though? You think my son can't play shortstop and pitcher? Look at him, he's beautiful.
Alonso passed Verstappen and was a huge pain in his ass.
He was a huge pain in his ass. He would have finished behind. I mean, he was Verstappen could not get past
Alonso him. If he wasn't such a dick.
He lucked out.
I mean, at this point, I think Alonso is about to make a mockery of Ocon.
Well, Ocon keeps losing to everyone that he's on a team.
Enough with this. He loses to every teammate he's had.
Yeah.
And people are like, stop being mean to Ocon. I'm sorry, but he's the other. He's the other guy after Russell. So like, we should be holding him to a high standard. He should be beating his teammates. Like, if something, God forbid, Russell gets COVID, it's gonna be Ocon.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And as we learned from his birthday post and what everyone says, that he and fucking Lance Stroll are best friends. So the talk about a red flag. Talk about a red flag.
Lance Stroll actually took his job at Force India. So you know, right. Ocon turns the other cheek. Not an alpha move. So Hamilton won, but it wasn't a boring Hamilton win.
We're an hour and a half into this podcast. Hamilton won.
It wasn't, but he had to work for it. We like watching.
Guess what? He got his 100th win. three hours into this podcast. Oh, Hamilton got his 100th win. Huge deal.
Verstappen got second. So it's like a very boring result, but came about in a very insane,
exciting,
interesting way.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Let's do hottest moment of the day and daddy of the day. And then we'll let the good people get back to their lives.
Hottest moment of the day for me was definitely when Max went triple wide.
Uh-huh.
When Max went three wide and he aborted it, but like just the balls of
The
sheer balls of that was just sick.
That was sick. I think hottest moment of the day for me was Lando when they were like, how many more laps can you do on these tires? And he was like, 20. because at the time it was hot, and now knowing what I know, it was foolish.
The pride goeth before the fall,
but you know, sometimes that represents its own. You know, Achilles was hot before he had that, before he got shot in the heel.
But you know, it's kind of like Lando is the example of like why they wait to give kids driver's licenses, because kids think they're invincible.
Uh huh.
I mean, he thinks he's invincible.
He is. This is like his first big wound.
Yes.
Because he's just waltzed through this life.
Yeah.
And I don't know his background or like what it, but like for him to be, you know, one of the, you know, 19 and coming into Formula One, to walk into a great situation at McLaren, to perform immediately, to have he's a Twitch streamer. To have this online presence, and things have just been going fucking, it's just been boop, 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 boom. It's just been on the up and ups for Sweet Baby Lando. And today was his first real major, like, psychological gut punch. And it's going to be really interesting to see if it fucks with his head and if he has a bad couple of races or if he comes back strong. And that will be, I think, very telling to see. It's like, is this guy going to be like a legend, or is he going to be like a guy that like maybe wins one championship? Like what's he made of? And it'll be what it'll be really interesting to see how he responds to this, because he was fucking gutted.
Well, I think it's interesting because you don't want to have. I think to be a great driver, you must have some level of ego and confidence, but mm-hmm. too much, and you're like, I can drive in a fucking biblical flood. So exactly. So you need the right balance, but too much the other way, and then you start to have doubts about yourself, and those you can't
exactly.
have.
Exactly.
Whereas Lewis has. He's delusional enough to deny the first mm-hmm. call.
Right.
But the second call, where they're like, no, seriously, dude, you have to come in. He'll come in.
Right.
You know, he'll come in.
And you know, that's a great point. I think it speaks to it. It's very a perfect metaphor also is how you drive a Formula One car, because you have to push it to the limit, but you need to know the limit.
Right.
And I think like, you know, it's like you look at, you know, guys who just push it too much. And they keep pushing the limit. Like Grosjean was the example. Yeah, the Grosjean. And, you know, Yuki has bits of that. And drivers, before they know what they're doing, they just, like, they push the car too much. And then the next thing you know, they're in the barriers. Or the reverse of that is they become timid, which is what happened to Albon. Like, Albon had a couple of hits. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he was afraid to, like, make any aggressive moves.
Right.
So in your own ability to drive the car, it's, like, the perfect metaphor for the mind. For the psychology of the athlete. Fuck, that was good. You thought this was a comedy podcast? Here's what people don't understand about me and you, Matt, is that we're actually so fucking smart. It's crazy. We are. We're literally, I mean, you know, it's like we might not know about like certain specifics, but like psychologically and emotionally, we're it. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, you just need to know that like we're it, man.
It's because
podcast is gonna be huge.
Because we're doing the work.
We're doing the work by the holistic psychologist. Is there anything else, or do we end on that? Any last words?
I just wanted to say that Sochi was where the last Olympics was held.
Uh-huh.
And people were talking about motorsport in the Olympics possibly.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking there was motorsport in the Olympics in 1900, but no medals were given out. And I was reading, a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, motorsport doesn't need the Olympics. I'm like, well, nobody needs the Olympics. But wouldn't it be uh-huh. awesome? Think about it.
Yeah.
Each country gets like two drivers.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you got Russell, Norris, Lando. You know, and then
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Fighting to the
well,
fucking
you said, yeah, yeah.
You know, fighting to right. the fucking death. Right?
Yeah, yeah, to be on the team.
To be on the team, you've got, in France, you've got Gasly, you've got Ocon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Spain, you have
Alonso
Carlos
and Sainz.
And Alonso. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yes, right.
That's a good
duo. You got all these, and I think you make it so, like, maybe, I don't know what kind of car it would be. I don't know if it'd be a Formula car or, like, a Le Mans sports car. Because, you know, mm-hmm. and then in America, you could have IndyCar drivers, NASCAR drivers.
Right.
You know, they could finally prove that they could drive against these guys in equal machinery.
Right. I guess you have to give them – you give them the same cars.
Yeah. You give them the same cars, and then you actually get to see Hamilton.
That would be sick.
Against Lando. And Max can drive for the fucking Netherlands. And
Even though he's not actually from there.
Whatever. I also thought for a second what would be really funny would be
this was
a dumb idea, but hilarious, would be they would go with whatever constructor is from that country. So Yuki would have Honda and Vettel would have Mercedes. But, you know, Ricardo would be stuck with some shitty Australian car. So like it would
right.
still so then the tables would turn. Do you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah. No, it would be too unfair.
It would be like F1. Right. It would be like F1, but just for different drivers.
You're like, oh, you're like, it's unfair. You mean like the thing that they're all in?
Wait, Lewis would be unfair. Like, wait, they get a Mercedes. Like, it's like, well, bro.
He'd be stuck with Aston Martin.
Yeah, he'd be stuck with Aston Martin or McLaren or, you know.
I guess, yeah.
So, McLaren. but I think it'd actually be more.
Is McLaren British?
It was founded by a New Zealand guy, but they're an English-based team. So,
I love that.
So yeah, I think it would be really fun to have race driving in the Olympics. And just a fun thing to think about.
I love it. And you heard it here first on the Red Flags podcast.
I don't know
podcast.
If you heard it here first, but I just love to think about it.
Well, maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
Maybe the person listening heard it here first. Okay, Vankas. We'll see you next week. No, there's no race next week, so we're going to have to pick something up for you. We don't know what it's going to be.
Well, I think what we should do is we should do a rundown of pros and cons of each driver, like why you should love them and hate them. And then you mm-hmm. list, like, for any of you new people who are deciding, like, okay, like, who should I stan and who should I just fucking despise? We can help you right. with that, because I think I could come up with a case for why you should love and despise every driver.
I love it.
I think that's what we're
going
to do this week.
Okay, so that'll be our episode next week. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, like, subscribe to the podcast if you aren't. Post about us on social media. If you've made it here, this is a long one.
Yeah.
If you've made it here, thank you very much. Tell your other little sluts about us. And we'll see you next week.
Later, Vankas.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.